Today, I'm starting a first week on a talk called Spirit, Soul and Body. This is an amazing teaching. If you've never heard this before, or even if you have, it's good to be reminded of it. So this scripture is in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. May your spirit, soul and body be preserved, sound and complete. Now, why do they say that? Why do they say, may your spirit, soul and body be preserved? And why? Because that's what we're made up of. We're made up of spirit, soul and body. It's not just a body. Because if we were just a body, it would just sit there and it wouldn't be able to do anything. You know, we smile and we have a character and we have a nature and we respond to things because inside our body we have a soul. We can talk to God because inside our body we have a spirit. So we're made up of three parts, spirit, soul and body. So I'm just going to have a little quick look at all three and then we're focusing on the soul today. So we are a spirit being. You know, our spirit is the part that God lives in. We have a soul and we live in a body. Now, our body doesn't change much. It's fairly obvious. It's the same before we get saved as it is after we get saved. If you didn't look like Elle Macpherson or Pierce Brosnan before you got saved, there's no chance after either words, okay? We just look the same when you look in the mirror. But our spirit is our born-again part. And it is 100% Holy Spirit and ready for heaven the minute we ask God in. That's the part that he instantly changes. Our body does not instantly change. Our soul does not instantly change. It's our spirit that is miraculously and instantly changed the minute we ask Jesus to be our Lord. He comes in to live in us by his Holy Spirit. He doesn't come in his body form. He doesn't come in, he comes in by his spirit. And he comes in to live in our spirit. And God's spirit permanently lives in our spirit. And you might say, well, Sandra, what if I make a mistake? What if I swear at the budgie or kick the cat? What happens then? Well, the Holy Spirit does not run out when we do something wrong. Or he'd never be in. He'd be in and out all day, you know, every day. He doesn't leave us when we do something wrong because he isn't living in the part where we get it wrong. He's not living in our soul realm where we sin. We'll come to that. He's living in our spirit. I've got three scriptures that are amazing. So the first one is Ephesians 4:30, the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Then 2 Corinthians 1:22 says, God has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. And the third one, Ephesians 1:13, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So all of these three scriptures all talk about us being sealed. So when the Holy Spirit came into my life, he came into my spirit, he took over my spirit, all of my sins were forgiven, he lives in my spirit, and then God sealed him in. So the Holy Spirit can't run out the minute I do something wrong. It's a bit like, you know, your mum or your gran when they were making the jam. That strawberry jam went in and then they put a wax seal on top. So nothing bad could get in and the goodness couldn't get out. Nothing bad can get into your spirit and the Holy Spirit can't get out. He's not going to run out onto the pavement. He's locked in. So picture a well on the inside of us or a jar of jam, if you like. That's on the inside of us. I always picture right here in that shape of my diaphragm where there's no organs there. There is a space, and it's for God. Because it said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. When I feel the Holy Spirit jump inside me, I feel it right there. You know, that's where the seat of our emotions, and that's where I believe the Spirit is, just right here. That's where I picture it. So picture this well on the inside. And we say, Lord Jesus, come in and be my Lord. And he comes in and he lives right here. And then he's sealed with a wax seal, and he can't get out. He doesn't run away when we do something wrong. Or we'd need to have a revolving door, because it'd be in and out all the time. As soon as our eyes are awake in the morning, we can do something wrong. So that one third of me, remember, we're spirit, soul, and body. So the one third of me that's spirit is 100% spirit. The one third of me that's spirit, in that one third of me, I am wall to wall Holy Ghost. We do not sin in our spirit. We still sin, but we sin in our soul realm. So what is our soul? Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. It's everything you think and everything you feel, and then your decision to act on it or not. Okay, that's what our soul is. All of the things that I suppose we think of as us, you know, I'm thinking about that, I'm feeling a bit rejected about that, I'm not happy about that. Now, some people think the spirit and soul are the same thing, but they are very different. So, for example, if I'm thinking I'm angry about something, I'm thinking angry, so the minute I start thinking angry, I begin to feel angry, and then once I feel angry, I might act angrily and storm out the room because I'm really angry about something. And that's all happening in my soul realm, but not in my spirit. It's in my soul realm. That's where we get it wrong. So you might think, well, how does that help me today, Sandra? Well, it's amazing how much this revelation can help us. Now, I want us to get this. So here is my revelation. When we're born again, our spirit can no longer sin. That's why it's ready for heaven, because God lives there. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in my spirit. We can no longer sin in our spirit because it's filled with God's spirit. Our spirit is always worthy because the blood of Jesus makes it worthy. We might not feel worthy, but we are, because it's got nothing to do with how we feel, because where do we feel things? In our soul. It's got nothing to do with how we feel. It is a fact. God looks at your spirit and he says, perfect, complete, sealed. Sealed. Your soul we're still working on. Your body as well. We'll come back to that one later, you know. But our spirit is sealed. Now, our soul is a different matter altogether. Our soul and our thoughts and our feelings, and they can change like the wind. If we do something wrong, it's because of negative thoughts or negative feelings or negative actions. We act on that. And I suppose that you could think of it as being your nature, but it's your soul realm. Our spirit is perfect now, but our body and soul will only be perfected in heaven. And the Bible tells us in heaven we'll get a glorified body, but our soul will be instantly glorified as well. As soon as I die and I pass into eternity, I will no longer sin because my soul will be perfected. I'll look at someone that maybe used to rub me up the wrong way in church, and I'll think, oh, you're beautiful. It's wonderful to see you in heaven. It's lovely to spend eternity with you. Have a good look around. You're spending eternity with these people. But the good news is you don't have to like them right now. Okay? But you'll love them when you get to heaven, because we're perfected and we're given a glorified body, and my soul will be instantly transformed when I die. Okay? So if my husband's waiting for me to be perfect, you need to wait till I'm pushing up daisies. Okay? And then I will be perfect. So here is a revelation. Satan can access our born-again spirit, but sin gives him access to our body and soul. He can't access my spirit. So I can do something wrong. I do not have to crawl on my hands and knees feeling unworthy before God, because in my spirit I am still worthy. In my spirit, Jesus still died for me. In my spirit, I'm sealed and forgiven and perfect. But it's a bad idea to let sin into my life. It's a bad idea not to repent from it. It's a bad idea not to say, Father God, I'm sorry for thinking this way or doing this. Break it off my life in Jesus' name. Because you open a door wide, wide open to let the enemy in to our emotions and our thinking and eventually into our body. When we were at the ladies' conference yesterday, I felt God gave me a word of knowledge, and I got up and I shared it. And I said there was someone there. But two ladies came up to me afterwards and said both said it was for them. But I said there was someone there, and they're now getting illness in their body, but I felt there was a chain reaction from emotional hurt. So they'd been hurt somewhere way back, you know, maybe a year ago, maybe 5 years ago. But now there was a chain reaction in their body to physical illness, and that needed to be broken because they'd let the enemy in, or someone had just dumped their rubbish on them, and that allowed the enemy into their life. It was because it was in their thoughts and in their thinking. So don't give Satan access to your life through sin. Keep working on your soul. But you don't need to work on your spirit as such. It's always rejoicing in God. The Holy Spirit is always there having a praise party. We're the ones that don't tune in. We're the ones that don't tune into the praise party, but he's always worshiping God. He's always there. This is in 3 John and verse 2. I pray that you prosper even as your soul prospers. So how's your soul doing this morning? Because that's what we're going to look at. We've given that brief description of the body. We've given a brief description of the spirit and the fact that that's where the Holy Spirit lives. And today we're going to look at the soul. Is our soul prospering today? Is it doing us good? Are we prospering in our thoughts? Is our mind doing us good? Are we prospering in our emotions? Are our feelings doing us good today? Or are we listening to that record stuck in the groove? You're useless, you're worthless, you're not good enough, you're not as good as the person sitting beside you, whatever it is. If our thoughts and feelings are negative, they cannot prosper us. This is where the rubber hits the road, not in our spirit, but in our soul realm. Thoughts and feelings can be the very thing that's killing us. We must learn to control our soul and not let it control us. You know, if I get up and I'm okay to begin with and then some negative thoughts creep in, and then before you know it, an hour's gone by and you're still thinking those negative thoughts, sometimes I just have to stop in the middle of the room and go, I'm not having these anymore, because this is not in my spirit. God loves me. I'm absolutely having the hallelujah chorus in the spirit, okay? But in my soul, I'm letting all these negatives in. So I just say, Father, I'm sorry I've let them in. I rebuke them in Jesus' name. Now fill me with your love and your joy and your peace. We can't, if we can't control our thoughts and emotions, then we are in big trouble. And sometimes half the battle is recognizing it. You can get to lunchtime and not recognize that you've been sitting mulling over something negative all morning, or allowing someone else's negative attitude to affect you. And we need to recognize it. We'll go up and down with every thought that flits through our head if we don't recognize that they're not from God. So when I was preparing this, God gave me this picture. So picture a plant incubator. You know, it's like a plastic cuboid, and you put your little plants in the bottom. It's got a clear plastic lid on it, and you can watch the plants grow. So I saw this incubator, and God was showing me this incubator was like our soul. And all our thoughts and emotions were growing in there like these little seedlings, these little green plants just coming through the surface of the soil. They all looked like plants, and some of them looked really healthy and lovely and green, and some of them were sick and withered and wilting. And God was saying to me, these are your thoughts, Sandra. This is what you're incubating. So we need to be careful. What are we incubating in our mind and in our feelings? Are we incubating good thoughts? Are we incubating sick ones? We must be careful what we let grow in our soul, because it's not all good for us. Isaiah 61 and verse 10 says this, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Our spirit's always joyful. That's the bit that's already ready for heaven. Remember that. But our soul, our thoughts and emotions can birth joy or they can kill joy. It's up to us what we do with them. So when we focus our soul on God, when our soul lines up with our spirit going, yep, I'm going to praise him. No matter what's going on, I'm going to join the spirit world and I'm going to praise God in it. So if our soul lines up with that and we rejoice with him, then we'll be joyful. But if our soul lines up with the negative words and the negative things that people have said or the situation that we're struggling with, you know, the spirit of slaps just come on us and we just want to slap someone, you know, that kind of thing. And we're struggling with that, then we're just going to go downhill with those thoughts and we need to break them off. When our soul prospers, we will prosper. I'm not talking about money here. I'm not talking about winning the lottery. I'm talking about having the soul on the inside of us being filled with love and joy and peace. Listen to this quote from Joyce Meyer. God wants us to mature in our souls, mind, will, emotions. He wants us to think with the mind of Christ. Okay, just a lovely little statement there. So we all want to be mature and stable in our mind, and we'd all love to have the mind of Christ. And you might turn and go, well, Sandra, is that even possible? Yes, double yes, it's absolutely possible, because it says this in 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. This is an amazing little statement. This says we have the mind of Christ. God puts his mind and his thoughts and desires in us. And I want us to know this is past tense. Not you will have the mind of Christ when you get to heaven, when you're doing a little bit better in your journey, but we have it right now. We already have it. We don't need to wait for the mind of Christ. We have it right now. Before we asked Jesus into our life, we didn't have the mind of Christ. But if we've accepted Jesus as Lord, we've got his mind in us right now. But it's in our spirit. It's not in the brain that's inside your skull. That's your soul realm. Remember, there's a difference. So in the spirit realm, I've got the mind of Christ. It's in my spirit, but it's not in my brain yet. Not inside my skull. It's deep inside on the spirit, in the spiritual part of me, because that's how God communicates with us, spirit to spirit. Remember, God is a spirit being. His thoughts live in our spirit, our spiritual mind. So how do we get it from deep down there in that well that was filled with God's Holy Spirit, in that spiritual side, how do we get it from there into our conscious mind? Because this part is really more about our mind and our soul realm that I'm talking about. How do we get God into our mind? How do we get God into our thoughts and into our emotions? In other words, how do we release God's thoughts so that they become our thoughts? Because they're deep inside us already. The scripture's clear. You've already got the mind of Christ. Okay, if I've got it, God, how can I not hear it? How am I not switched into that? Well, we need to get it out. It flows out of us. There's two ways that can flow out of us. And this is the first one. Two main ways. First one is reading God's word. It's that simple. The Bible is full of truths that bring God's wisdom. They bring his knowledge and his understanding into our situation. All of these can be in our mind if we put them there. It's not rocket science, you know. God's written a book. If you want to read his mind, read his book. It's as simple as that. If we want to know the mind of Christ, then read what he's written about his will and about how we're supposed to act in a situation. You know, the knowledge that we put into our mind is the knowledge that will come out. The wisdom that we put in is the wisdom that will come out. The God that we put in is the God that will come out. So when you're reading the Bible, Vivian and I could both be reading in Genesis. Okay, so we could both be reading in Genesis chapter 1. And Vivian could say, Sandra, this verse really spoke to me. Verse 10 really spoke to me. I go, oh, Vivian, you should wait till you get to verse 20. That really spoke to me. So we could both be reading the same thing, but the Spirit of God quickens something different to Vivian as he does to me. We will not get the same thing out of today's preach. We'll not get the same thing out of the same chapter in the Bible. But the Holy Spirit, God by his Spirit, will quicken it to us. So it's there. We have it physical. We have physical, tangible, touchable, holdable presence of God in the form of his holy word. And we can hold it and open it. There's no point in dusting it, using it as a coffee mug. You put your coffee on, use it as a mat for your mug. There's no point in that. We need to actually open it. And as we read it, then the mind of Christ goes from deep inside us to ping into our head. If we fill our mind with the word of God, that's what we'll be living there. If we fill our mind with the world, that's what we'll be living there. We fill our mind with the TV and whatever else we're watching. You know, on a Monday, my phone pings up screen time. Now, it's no more than, say, an hour and a quarter on this, an hour and a half on that. I'm always gobsmacked. It will be like, you know, just looking through your photographs. An hour and a half looking through photographs. Like, how? How did that happen? Because I just do it 3 minutes at a time. Oh, send that picture. Another 3 minutes, I'll send that picture. And before you know it, at the end of the week, you've been an hour and a half looking at photographs of your children and your grandchildren, you know? And that's what you've done. We need to be aware of what's our screen time? What's our TV time? You know, rubbish in means rubbish out. What are we putting in to our minds? We just don't know what the world will let into our life if all we're putting into our mind is things of the world. But I can tell you now, if all we're doing is screen time and TV time, we will not have the mind of Christ in the front of our skull. It'll still be way deep down at the bottom of that well, and we won't have dug it up yet. The world will not bring godly wisdom or understanding to us. Only God will. The second way to have the mind of Christ in any situation that we are facing is by speaking God's language, speaking in tongues. When we speak in tongues, we're speaking the perfect will of God over our life. Hands up anyone who wants that. Now, we don't know what we're saying when we're speaking in tongues. The Bible actually says we're speaking mysteries. Our natural mind, what's in our skull, doesn't understand it. However, our brain might not understand it, but our spirit does. Our spirit understands what's going on deep down inside us, because our spirit is filled with God's spirit, and the tongues is our spirit speaking directly to God. Directly to God. This is what it says, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 2. For one who speaks in an unknown tongues does not speak to people, but to God. You've got a hotline to God. We've got a direct line to God's Holy Spirit. For no one understands him or catches his meaning, but by the Spirit, capital S, God's Spirit, he speaks mysteries, secret truths, and hidden things. Isn't that amazing? Tongues is a mystery to us, but not to God. God knows exactly what he wants us to say, what he needs us to say over our situation. He knows exactly what we need to speak over our life, and he does it by his Spirit in us. This says tongues is secret truths and hidden things or mysteries. That's what we're releasing when we release tongues out of our spirit. They don't come out of our soul. They come out of our spirit, because that's where God lives. Who wouldn't want that in their lives? So if I just think, I'm not sure what to do about this situation, God, or I'm not sure what the next stage is for church or whatever it is, and I just begin, koro shoko marakara, ke mara shoko komo komo hai, I just go for a walk, shamara kamara kamara shoko komo rohai, koro shomikaya, koshiro mikara kamahai, mishai mishai, kama kama kamahai. I speak over all of you now. Koro shoko komo komo hai, shimakaya kama kamara, brishna kama, kamai ho. Shokoro komohai. What have I just spoken over your life? I've just spoken secret truths and hidden things and the mysteries of God over your life, over this church, over my life. That is powerful. Every single one in this room knows how to do that. Are we doing it? Do we want these things of God? Because if we want them, we need to speak them. You might say, well, Sandra, that sounds great, but I prefer to know what I'm saying. Well, that's okay too. That's absolutely okay, because we can ask God to give us the interpretation of the tongues. He can give us the interpretation. We can speak in tongues and ask God for revelation knowledge. Now, it might not come word for word. So when tongues comes on a Sunday in the church meeting and someone gets up and they bring it in English, you're not getting word for word. Oh, that means I. Oh, what's the past tense of that again? Oh, that means went. We don't get word for word. God gives us an impression in our heart. Oh, just tell them I love them. Just tell them they're forgiven, whatever that impression is. So, but we can still ask God for the interpretation. It will not, probably not come word for word, but we can still know what God is saying to us. So say, for example, we've got a problem, and we ask God for the solution, and we begin to speak in tongues. Now, you might have to pray in tongues for a day. You might have to pray in tongues for a couple of days. But eventually, that answer will just come. So say you're in a work situation. I've seen it myself. I've seen it in Neil's situation as well. You're sitting looking at a computer screen, and you think, I do not know what the answer is. I do not know what to do here. I haven't got a clue. Get up from the computer screen, go for a walk, walk to the end of your street and back, pray in tongues all the way, pray in tongues all the way back, go back to your desk and sit down, and the answer will come. Because the Word of God, those mysteries, those secret truths, those hidden things have gone from way down deep in your spirit and have popped into your soul realm, into your mind. You know, another example would be when I'm trying to get a preach together. Now, sometimes I'll sit down, and a preach will come, and it will just flow. It will just absolutely flow. Not a problem. It will just be there. And they won't think, oh, that's a great idea, God. And we'll get all the scriptures. And other times, it's like pulling teeth. This preach today was like a trip to the dentist, okay? I was tearing my hair out Monday morning. I was tearing my hair out Monday night. I was tearing my hair out on Tuesday. Finally, I thought, do you know what? I need to get up from my desk. I need to do what I'm preaching here. So I got up from the laptop and I went into the living room. I started walking around in circles and praying in tongues. Because when I'm putting a preach together, especially the first one, I'm thinking of 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I need to know the plan. I can't just do 1 week and not know where I'm going, because then I could end up covering all 3 weeks in one, or the third week could get mentioned in the first week. So I need to, Lord, I just couldn't get the order of it. I need to know where I'm going with this. I've got 3 weeks. I need to know what's happening with all 3 weeks. So I started walking about, started praying in tongues. Boom, it came to me. I ran and got a pen and wrote it down before it went out the other ear. You know, but as soon as I started speaking in tongues, that revelation knowledge, those mysteries, God knew what he wanted to say. He knew where I was going with it, and he gave me the answer, and it all fell into place. Folks, God's Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Creator of the world, the Spirit of Almighty God that hovered over the face of the earth in Genesis 1, is in you, and it's in me, and it's full of hidden things, and it's full of the answers to every problem we will ever, ever face. But it's up to us to bring it out. We must draw out the knowledge of God. We do it by speaking in tongues or by reading his word. I'm going to finish with this scripture, which is just a beautiful scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. It's the one that comes before one of the other ones that we read about the mind of Christ. But we have the mind of Christ. That was verse 16. I'm going back to verse 9 up to 12. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God. That's amazing. That sums it all up. God has got so much he wants to show us, so much he wants to give us, so many answers to so many problems. And it's all free. We can know the things of God because he's freely given them to us by his Spirit. We can't know things with our natural mind, our soul, but God reveals things by his Holy Spirit when we speak in tongues, when we read his word. In our spirit, we have the mind of Christ. We have the answer to every problem we will ever face. It's already in us, but it's in our spirit, and we must draw it out till it pops into our mind and pops into our emotions, into our soul realm. Tongues releases the wisdom of God, and if we want it in our life, we must speak it over our life. Then our soul will prosper. We're going to ask the worship team to come up.